Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Kesubos Daf Lamed Ches. I hope everyone had an easy and meaningful fast on Tisha B'Av. Mirtz Hashem, this should be the last year that we're fasting on Tisha B'Av. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Francis Davidson, whose yard site is today, as well as the yard site that I just got from a few days ago, Bertha Kessler, Biach's Bat Elio HaKohen. All the shows we learned for Shadon Aliyah from our learning. We begin today's share on that Lamed Ches Omer Aleph, about 12 lines down from the top. If you remember from yesterday's share, we were discussing all of the details of the psukim, why every one of the psukim was necessary to teach us what seemed to be repetitious, either the Din of Komlim or the Rabbinay, or why there was a need for other psukim to reiterate that point. So we had brought down one opinion as to why we needed the pasuk. But we had schlugged that up, so therefore we begin again 12 lines on the top with Elo Omer Rami Barachami. Gives this is the reason. It's we need this pasuk as well as we need the pasuk in Lo Yason. Why is that? Because Saul could die to Chamin. I would have said on my own. Hani Mili Hecha Desimu Aseino Vaharago Ba. If a person put out the eye of somebody else and also simultaneously killed them, so they. Let's say Rachmana Lassan shot him in the eye, so he became blind, and then he died from that wound. So in that situation, we certainly would say, Komlei Midirabine, that you only pay with your life, Mises Beistin, but you wouldn't have to go and pay for the wounding of the person's eye, for blinding that person's eye. But, if a person were to simultaneously, but with two separate blows, as Rashi points out, so I'll give you the example again, he shot him with a gun. So he shot him in the eye with a gun, and with the other hand, he had another gun. He shot simultaneously, and he shot him in the chest, and he killed him. So in this situation, where there were two blows, albeit simultaneously, but the two blows came separately, maybe I might have said, Emo nishko mamona mine. He should have to go and pay damages for blinding the person, for taking out his eye, and at the same time, maybe chayav nisas beis, and therefore, I need one of the psukim to tell me that it's not the case, that we apply komlei midirabanei here as well. So you need two psukim, one to tell me that if the blow is occurring simultaneously with one blow, and you need to tell me if the blow is occurring simultaneously with two separate blows, that in each of these situations we apply komlei midirabanei. Amalei Rava, Rava says, Honami me'idoch tana de chizki dafka. So this can also be learned now from another statement that they learned the base medrash chizki. What was that? The tana de chizki learned the base medrash chizki when it says the pasuk ayin tachas ayin shein tachas shein the low. Ayin, the nefesh tachas ayin. That tells me that you only pay an ayin for an ayin, an eye for an eye, which of course the Gemara tells us elsewhere. And as Rashi points out over here, in Dibur Masa below ayin, the nefesh tachas ayin. So, minei kaimalon b'achovel, we learn in the Perek HaChovel, the ayin tachas ayin, lav mamish. It certainly doesn't mean that you blind the person. If a person blinded somebody else, we don't go blind them. Because the amr is mamish, if you can tell me you actually literally blind them, so they'll domo bahade the saminon le'enei, because maybe when you were to go and try to take out the guy's eye, mayis, you could kill him. We don't have the ability, certainly in the times of the Gemara, that you could blind somebody without necessarily going and killing them. Probably ayin the nefesh tachas ayin, and then you'd have an eye for an eye, but also a life and an eye for an eye, which of course is incorrect. So obviously, it never meant, nobody should ever have a meaning to think that it meant that you literally take out somebody's eye if they took out somebody else's eye. However, it does tell us, miyu shamina mina, the lo tavi be tarti, but we can learn out here from you don't have two punishments over here. So if somebody is chayiv on a monetary penalty, so then you do ayin tachas ayin, but if they also killed him, we don't do velo ayin the nefesh tachas ayin, but we don't go and make him pay an eye and a nefesh for an eye, and therefore tarti we don't do, and therefore this we would already know that we don't have a double penalty. We would already know komlei midirabanei, so we don't need the pasuk of kol cheirim asher yocharam to teach us this. So the word says Yitaka right. Elom Ravash, Ravash says Itzra. This is what we need the extra pasuk for, because Saul kudai techaminah ho v'chidush hu shechidsha Torah b'knas. Since the whole idea of knas is a chidish, you know what I would have said? Apaga demik to mishalim. I would have said when you have a knas and you have a chiyuv mises based in. So yes, a regular financial penalty with mises based in, we say komlei midirabanei. But I might have thought a knas plus mises based in, we in fact would say you pay for both, because the knas is a chiddush. So therefore, komash v'lan, know that this extra pasuk, kocher masher yocharam, comes to teach us that even when it's a knas, we don't go and pay, we apply komlei midirabanei. And of course, this should bring to everybody's mind the question, but we had a shita, Rabba's explanation of Rameir, that says that we do apply Kamlei Midirabba in Mises based in and financial, but Mises based in a Knas, we don't apply Kamlei Midirabba. Ula Rabba, the Omar Chidishu Shechitra Torah, Biknas, that this reasoning is in fact correct, that when it's a chiddush in terms of a knas, which is not a normal penalty, it's not a basis for I did this damage and therefore I'm paying this amount, but it's a chiddush, it's a knas, he does say you apply that you pay the knas as well as the mises basin. Avagav the mikdal, even though we're giving a mises basin, mishalim, he has to pay the knas. So according to the shita of Rabba, who explains with Meir, hi, kolcherim, my obelay, so then we do have the extra pasuk still, kolcherim, asher yocharam, it's unnecessary. What would Rabba do with that? So Gemara says, he obviously doesn't hold this drosha system that we just said. He must hold like the Tanakama, who argued with Chananya ben Akabi. What is that? Just to remind us that we learned on yesterday's shir, the end of yesterday's shir, that we said that if a person is going out to Misa's Basin and he's been paskid by the Basin, that he's chayav Misa, and then a person proclaims and says his value, his erech, I'm going to go and give to tzedakah. So the Tanakama of Rav Chananya ben Akavya said that in that situation it's worth nothing because the person has no physical value at that point in time because he's slated to be killed by Basin. It was possibly as Mises Basin. So in that situation, you need to tell me that there is no erech on such a person. Rav Chananya ben Akavya disagreed. He said personally that in that situation, it's just based upon gender and age. So there is an erech to that person. If he said domi alai, his value on the market, then it would be worth nothing. But if he says erech alai or erech alai, so then there is a chiyuv based upon his age and his gender that he would have to donate to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Tanakama of Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya disagrees with him, and therefore that's what you need the pasuk kolcherim asher yocharam to teach us that. That concludes this long series of drushes that we had in terms of determining when we apply the din of kamlei with the rabbinate and when we do not. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Nara shinis arsa v'nis garsha. Now we had this previously as well, so this will be a little bit of a chazara. We said a girl who's a nara, she's between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, that she had the first stage of marriage, but then her husband divorced her before they consummated the marriage, before the second stage of marriage, and now she's still a basula. In this situation, Rav Yosef Glili Omer Ein Lo Knas. He says from the fact that she was already married, albeit not consummated, and only the first stage of marriage, so the psukim of Knas don't apply to such a girl who is an anusa or mafuta. If she was nisarsa, even if she wasn't consummated the marriage, she only had the first stage of marriage, so then the din of Knas doesn't apply to her. Ein Lo Knas. However, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Omer Yesh Lo Knas. She in fact does have a knas, and this knas, instead of going to her father like it normally does, in this situation, it would go to her. Rashi points out that we had this idea previously as well in the previous Mishnah, where it said, Eishes Ochiv, the Eishes Achi Oviv, we had the wife of your brother or the wife of your uncle, your father's brother's wife. In those situations, we talked about also there was just Erisin with that wife, and then the Niskarsha. Then we had said there the same thing, that there was a knas, so that obviously went according with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who says over here too that there is a knas for an arusa who never actually consummated the marriage and now is divorced. Now obviously she had to be divorced, Rashi says. In the previous Rashi, he says, Deilu arusa, shaloniskar, she was dealing about an arusa who's still married, so then there's a chiv misa over here, Rachman al-Islam, if somebody were to be manani, sir, the ain shom knas, and there certainly wouldn't be a knas in that situation because of a kamalei with the rabbi minei, except according to the opinion of Rabbi that we just brought down in the name of Rabbi that we had yesterday's share, where there would be a knas in that situation because of the chiddush, but this is the simple understanding in the previous Mishnah that it goes in accord with Rabbi Akiva. Okay, now the Gemara starts off and says, my time to Rabbi Yosef Glida. Why does Rabbi Yosef Glida say if the woman has not been consummated the marriage and therefore she really is a basula, so why should she not have a knas just because she was an arusa at one point in time and then was niskarsha? So Amar Kra, because he says the pasuk tells us, asher lo orasa. It says in the pasuk, ki motze ish naru basula asher lo orasa usufasa v'shochad imah v'nimtso. The man goes and assaults a woman, and in this situation, there is no knas, he says, because he says, asher lo orasa, if she wasn't an arusa, she hadn't had erisin. Implication being, orasa, if she did have erisin, albeit now she's not an arusa, she was divorced, ein lo knas. That's how Rabbi Yossi Aglili darshens this pasuk from Devarim. Now, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva What does he do with this pasuk? Asher lo orasa liavia, ha orasa liatzmi. He says, no, the distinction over here in the two cases is if she wasn't ever an arusa, so then the knas goes to her father. But if she once was an arusa, and now she's nizgarsha, and she's still a besula, so she's entitled to the knas, and it's liatzmi, and she gets it for herself, as Rabbi Akiva had pointed out in the Mishnah. This is his drasha. Nu, the Gemara questions this and says, Elo miyata. The pasuk also tells us Nara. So it says, maybe that implies a Nara, the knas goes to the father. But below Bogeres, but not a Bogeres, meaning Hochanami del Atzma, that there is a knas for a Bogeres, you're saying, but it goes to her and not to her father. Just like you said, Asher Lo Rosa, only if she's never been an Arosa, does the knas go to the father. But Rabbi Akiva says, if she was an Orosa, albeit now Niskarsha, then the Knas goes to her. So too, if she's not an Ara, she's a Bulgaris, so the Knas should go to her. And likewise, Besula, if she's a Besula, then the Knas goes to the father. Below Bula, but not if she's a Bula. Are you saying, Obiya Hochanami, in this situation also, that if she's a Beula, then the Knas goes to herself, Diliatzma? Obviously not, that can't be the case. That's not the din. A Bogeris doesn't get a knas. Everybody agrees to that. A Basula gets a knas. A Ba'ula doesn't get a knas. So in both of these situations, how could Rabbi Akiva darshan the way he did, Asher lo Orasa, that only when she's never been an Orasa does the knas go to the father. But if she was an Orasa, now Niskarsha, then the knas goes to her. You should say the same thing by a Ba'ula and by a Bogeris, which you obviously don't. Elo ligamre, it must be that we are in fact excluding the Ba'ula and the Bogeris from getting a knas, period, not to her and not to her father, so Hochanami. So then we should exclude, just like Rabbi Yossi Aglili did, a woman who had once been an Arusa, and now in Iskarsha, there should be no knas at all, just like Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, Hochanami Legamre. So Gemara says, no, Rabbi Akiva is right. Omelach Rabbi Akiva, what would Rabbi Akiva say? He said, Hai lo Orosa, miboy lechilichtanya. That the words Asher lo Orosa should not be learned like Rabbi Yossi Aglili learned them, but we need them for the following drasha. The drasha is, when the pasuk says Asher lo Orosa, prat linaro shenis arso v'niskarsha. When it tells us that she never was first stage of marriage, she never was an arusa, that means, as opposed to, she was once an arusa, but she was niskarsha and is still a basula. In that situation, the Braisa tells us, Shein lo knas, that's only the opinion, Dibri Riosa Glili. But Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yesh lo knas. Rabbi Akiva says, no, we don't dash in the pasuk that way, and here we'll see how he dashes it. He says that, in fact, she does have a knas if she was once nisarso, but niskarsha. Now here we have ukinosu liavia. Here, this Braisa says the knas still goes to a father in this situation, which of course is different than our Mishnah, where Rabbi Akiva said the knas liatzma, and we'll have to reconcile that. The Rashi says we'll reconcile it later on by saying that there are two different tanoim, aliba the Rabbi Akiva. So the Tana of our Mishnah says that Rabbi Akiva holds the knas goes to her in this situation, whereas the Tana of this Braisa says the knas still goes to Avia in the situation where she was this Iris of Iskarsha. In any event, we'll get back to that. What's Rabbi Akiva's reasoning that he doesn't darshan the Pesukim Asher lo Orosa like Rabbi Yosef Glili does, which seems to be the simple way to darshan it, that an Arusa of an Iskarsha doesn't get a Knas, only Asher lo Orosa, only if she wasn't ever an Arusa, does she get the Knas? So Rabbi Akiva says, no, Vadin Nosin. He says it's a very logical derivation over here. The Din Nosin, it's logical. Why is that? The Svar is as follows. Ho will v'yaviya zakai b'kesef kidushel. Since her father, when he marries off his daughter, when the father, halachically midaraisa, is given the rights to marry off his daughter, he can marry off even if she's one day old. He can marry off any time before she becomes a nara. Some say even when she's a nara, and can marry off till she's a bogeris. We had that machlokas previously. In any event, the father then gets the kesef kedusha. So the chosen is makadisha with $100, so the father gets that $100. Likewise, v'yaviya zakeh b'kesef knasa. And likewise, the father is zocha nebuchad, the woman is assaulted, so the father gets the kesef of the knas of the anusa. So too, ma kesef kidushel, so too the father has the right to marry off his daughter. According to this opinion, if his daughter was married off midaraisa, but she never consummated the marriage, she was in arusa v'niskarsha, the father still has the right to marry her off again, midaraisa. So apapi shenisarso v'niskarsha, the kesef kidushin goes liavia, so to over here. Rabbi Akiva says, al kesef kinosa, Rechman al-San, if such a woman who's nisarso v'niskarsha is Rechman al-San assaulted, so al kesef kinosa, apapi shenisarso v'niskarsha, goes liavia. So in this situation as well, she has the Kesef, the Braisa, the Tana, according to Rabbi Kiva, and the Braisa says that she does have a Knas in this situation, and the Knas goes to her father. Just like the Kedushin still goes to the father in this situation, so too does the Knas go to the father. Of course, if the woman had been going through the second stage of marriage and had Nisuin, so then the father no longer has the right to marry off Midaraisa, and he wouldn't get the Kesef Kedushin. Aye, so great. We've explained Rabbi Akiva why he says that she has a knas and the knas goes to the father. But then, what do you need the pasuk Shelo Rasa to teach us? Imkei matamudom Shelo Rasa. That was the question that got us into this. So, why does Rabbi Akiva say we need the pasuk Shelo Rasa, especially according to this, if the din is exactly the same, whether she ever was in arusa or she was in arusa of a niskarsha? So there is a knas and the knas goes to the father. So, what do we need the words Shelo Rasa to teach us? So he says it's actually mufne. It's totally unnecessary, and therefore we can use it for the following famous gzeirah shava. We need it for the following Zerushava to teach us that the Knas by an Anusa is the same as that Knas by Mefuta. Again, the Psukim don't tell us this. The pasuk tells us, ish besula, if a person seduces a besula, asher lo rasa, and he uses a loshon there, asher lo rasa, v'shochav ima, and he has relations with her, so then it says, mohor yimarena lo leisha, so he should go and marry her. If the woman wishes to be married, so the man has to marry her, and in that situation, it tells us that there is a knas as well. Now, if there is a knas over there, it doesn't tell us how much it is. Where it says, by the Anusa, it tells us that it's 50, but it doesn't tell us that it's Shkolim. So, Nemar Kana Shelo Rasa. It says over here, in regards to the Anusa, the Loshon Shelo Rasa. That's our Pasuk here. Nemar Lahalan, then it says the Pasuk that I just brought down by Mefuta, Shelo Rasa. So, it teaches us, Ma Kan Chamishim, just like over there, the Anusa, it's 50. So, too, it doesn't tell us how much by the Mefuta, Af Lahalan Chamishim, it's also 50. Ma Lahalan Shkolim, by the Mefuta, it tells us that it's specifically Shkolim that have to be paid. That teaches us that Afkan Shkolim, by the Anus, it's also Shkolim. So therefore, through this Gzeirah Shava, Shelo Rasa, Shelo Rasa, we learn after Din that both the Anus and the Mefut, they have to have a Knas of 50 Shkolim. Because you wouldn't know that it was 50, or you wouldn't know that it was Shkolim. Therefore, this Gzeirah Shava tells me that both of them, it's 50 Shkolim. That's what Rabbi Akiva needs the Pasuk, Shelo Rasa, for. Nothing to do with the Knas over here, which Rabbi Akiva says in the Braisa, she gets a Knas, of course, and the Knas goes to her father. As opposed to the Mishnah, where he said, of course, she gets a Knas, but the Knas goes to herself. So let's sum up everything. According to Rabbi Akiva, we darshan the word Asher Lo Arasa for the Gzeirah Shava, and therefore the basic din, it has nothing to do over here whether she was in Arusa and Niskarsha, or she never was in Arusa. As long as she's a Besula, she gets a Knas. And we use the terminology of Besula to exclude Be'ula, and we use the terminology of Nara to exclude a Bokeris. So the Gemara questions this. It says, Rabbi Akiva, my chaz is, why do we say that the words Dasher, Asher, Lo, Arasa is Mufne, it's unnecessary, and we use it for the Gzeirah Shava, and yet the words Ubesula is Lamayit Be'ula, and Nara is to be Lamayit Bogeres, and we turn to Lamaches and Lebeis. So, Ema, why don't we flip it around and say the word Besula is unnecessary, and that's to teach us Gzeirah Shava, and therefore the words Vasher Lo Rasa comes to teach us Prat Linaro Shinisarsa Vinisiskarsa. So maybe it actually is like Rabbi Yossi Glilu learned it out, that a Nara who once had been Nisarsa should now not get the knas if she was once nisarsa, even though she's niskarsha. So where it says you have two ways of learning it: either the word besula is unnecessary and use that for the gzeirah shava, or learn it the way Rabbi Akiva did, which is to say that the besula is necessary, that a beula doesn't get a knas, and that asher lo ras is unnecessary, and that's for the gzeirah shava. So where it says, why did Rabbi Akiva choose the way he did and not the other way? So where it says, because it makes more sense that way. Mistabra, when the words asher lo rasa, the Gzeirah Shava should be mufna for the Gzeirah Shava, because Share ani koreba nara besula, because the girl is a nara besula who's entitled to the knas, and asher lo rasa is extra. Where it says, no adirab, you can learn it the other way around. You can say, besula is unnecessary, that's the Gzeirah Shava, and in fact, Share ani koreba asher lo rasa, as long as a girl has never been an arusa, whether she's bula or not is irrelevant, but as long as she's not an arusa, then she does get the knas. Why don't you learn it that way? So where it says, no, the way Rabbi Akiva learned it makes more sense. Bistabra, ho ishtani gufa, ho lo ishtani gufa. Because a girl, whether she's an arusa or not, that doesn't change her body at all. Her body is still the exact same body. She is a virgin. She is a basula. So therefore, if you're going to say that there's one din across the board over here, it would make sense to say it for a girl who wasn't a ba'ula. But a ba'ula, ishtani gufa, her guf has changed. There's a difference between a girl who has basula and a girl who doesn't have basula. There's a physical difference between them. So therefore, if you're going to say that one word is unnecessary, the word asher lo arasa is the one that should be unnecessary, because the word basula versus ba'ula, that's a physical change in the girl. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva's way of darshaning to say that basula is necessary to teach us that it's not a ba'ula, and asher lo arasa is unnecessary because the girl hasn't changed whether she's an arusa or not, and therefore, there should be no difference in the din. So therefore, that's the way Rabbi Akiva learns out the Gemara. Now let's go and understand Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Yosi Aglili, he says, Hai svar minole. He needs the words Asher lo arasa to tell me that Nisarsa and Niskarshis is not entitled to a knas. And he needs the word Besula to teach us that it's Besula and not Beula. So he doesn't have any words free for the Xer Rishabah to teach us that Anusa and Mafuta have the same exact knas of 50 shkolim. So how does Rabbi Yosi Aglili learn that din out? Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Hai svar that an Anusa and Mafuta both pay 50 shkolim minole. Where does he learn that out from? So where it says, Nafkalim Editani, he learns from the following brisa. The pasuk tells us, it says, in regards to the Mefuta, Kesef Yishkol Kemoar HaBesulos. It says she will get Yishkol, she will get Shkolim of Kesef, just like the Mohar, the normal payment that is made to a Besula. What is that normal payment that's made to a Besula? Shezeh Kemoar HaBesulos, that the Mefuta should have the same penalty payment to her as the Anusa. And how much is that? Umor HaBesulos Kazeh. And the teacher is vice versa, that the Mohar of the Besulos, if a girl is seduced, it's the same as the girl who is an Anusa, and both of them should get Shkolim, and both of them therefore will get 50 Shkolim. So we make the comparison over here, Kesef Yishkol, Kimo HaBesulos, not through Gzeir Shava, but through this derivation of the Psukim. Okay. Now, we go back to our Kasha that I pointed out before. Nevertheless, our Mishnah said that an Arusa, Shiniskarisha, according to Rabbi Akiva, gets a Knas, but the Mishnah said, Knas Liatzma. If she is not an Arusa ever, so then the Knas goes to her father. But the Mishnah said, if she was an Arusa, but Niskarisha, so she's entitled to the Knas, and the Knas is Liatzma. That's what we said in the Mishnah. But in the Braisa, we said that she's entitled to the Knas because Arusa, Asher Lo Arusa, is entitled to a Knas because the words Asher Lo Arasa used for the Gzeir Shava according to Rabbi Akiva, but in the Braisa he said that the Knas goes to her father. So we have a Kasha, Stira. The Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva says she gets a Knas, it goes to her. And the Braisa, it says Rabbi Akiva says she gets a Knas, it goes to her father. So Gemara says the answer I gave before, Trei Tanoim, I'll leave with Rabbi Akiva. Yet we have two different Tanoim arguing what Rabbi Akiva's opinion was. The Tana, who quoted him in our Mishnah, says the Knas is Liasma, and the Tana, quoted Rabbi Akiva, says the Knas is to the father. Very good. So Gemara says, our Mishnah works out great, but the Brice has a problem. Mishlam Rabbi Akiva the Masnisin, Rabbi Akiva no Mishnah, he has no problem. Because lo osyo gzei reshova, o mafkale lekra, mi pashtei legame. Because in this situation, we don't remove the gzei reshova entirely. It says, asher lo arasa, that must come to teach us something. And therefore, yes, you're right, it's mufna for the gzei reshova, but it still can't be totally ignored. So therefore, we understand the Mishnah that there's a distinction between asher lo arasa to a girl who is an arusa v'niskarsha, and that is who the knas goes to. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva says the knas in this situation goes to herself. Oh, so therefore, we are darshing a little bit the words asher lo arasa, and we haven't totally excluded, albeit we're using it as mufna l'gzei reshava. So the Mishnah works out great. Ela Rabbi Akiva the Braisa, asher gzei reshava umafka mipashtid legamre. According to the Braisa, the words asher lo arasa are totally unnecessary. It's being used just for l'gzei reshava, and there's no application of this whatsoever in regards to the din being any different between a girl who never was in a arusa and a girl who's in a arusa in Niskarsha. In both situations, they get the knas, and in both situations, the knas goes to the father. Really? In this situation, you're totally uprooting the Gzei Rishava. Mafka mipashte legamre. And therefore, that's not right. So how do we answer that? So Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok, he says, Kari Bey, Asher Lo Arusa. That you have to read it, not Asher Lo Arusa, but it says Asher Lo Arusa right now. As long as she's not an Arusa right now, so then she's entitled to the Knas. Whether she was previously never an Arusa, or she was previously an Arusa in Iskarsha, that's one din across the board. But according to Rabbi Akiva, in the Braisa, so you'd have to understand the words Asher Lo Arusa to come and teach us over here, it means that she's not an Arusa right now. Why would I ever had a hava mean it to say that she's entitled to Knas in that situation? Arusa baskilahi. If Rachmana Lassana, a man, goes and assaults a woman who's an Arusa, and she's an unwilling participant to this, so the man is Chayv Misa. Nothing happens to the girl. She was assaulted. So the man would be Chayv Misa. And of course, if you're Chayv Misa, you don't get a Knas. Shmuel says, no, I would have said, Sol Kedai Techamina, Ho V'chidish Huch Shechich Shetor. We've had this already several times. The sins is the Chidish, the Torah's B'chadish. Biknas, in regards to a knas over here, it's not a financial penalty of damages, it's a totally Xeris HaKosov, that she's entitled to 50 shkolim in this situation. So afal gav de miktal, I might have said, even though the guy is going to get Mrs. Based, nevertheless, he should have to be mishalim the knas. So therefore, that's what we need this pasuk for, asher lo arusa, asher lo arusa, to teach us that if she's an arusa, there's Mrs. Based, and you might have thought there should be a knas. This says, no, if she's an arusa, there is no knas. Again, that works out great according to the standard opinion that we have, that we apply commonly the rabbinate when there's a knas too. But again, Ula Rabba, the Rabba's extending of Rav Meir, the Rabba the Omar, Chidishu Shechidshu Torah B'knas, and in fact, Afal Gav D'Mikdo Mishalei Ma'ikol Meimer, according to this opinion, the Rabba, you in fact do not apply commonly the rabbinate when there's a knas and Mises Beisdin, and because it's a Chidish, in fact, you do make him have Mises Beisdin, and he has to pay the knas. So therefore, in this situation, what would he do with the words Asher Lo Arusa, Asher Lo Arusa, to teach us Asher Lo Arusa? You can't be an arusa right now. You would pay the knas if you're an arusa, so it can't be used for that. So again, obviously, Sovaloka Rabbi Akiva the Masnisin. He can't hold like this opinion of Rabba, understanding it like Rav Meir, but he has to hold like Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, which says that we're using the words Asher Lo Arusa to teach us that the knas goes to her and not to the father. This way, it's not Mi'aka Lagamri. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Tan Rabban Gamliel Fali Braisa, Kinosu Lemi. Who does the knas go to? So the first Braisa, or the first opinion of the Braisa, says, Leovia, it goes to a father. Yeh Shomim. And others say, no, it goes to the Atzma, it goes to her. So obviously, this is a steer over here. Liatzma, am I? The Torah says that the penalty goes to the father. So why would you say that it goes to her? So obviously, this is the answer, the Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah versus Rabbi Kiva in the Braisa. Amru Chista, Hocha bin Arish in Isarso, bin Iskarashoski. You know, we're dealing over here. And the Braisa, with this machlokis, in terms of what Rabbi Akiva's opinion was, in the Braisa, we're dealing here with a girl who was once an Arusa, but Nebuch, she was Niskasha before the marriage was consummated, and therefore, you have Kamiflugi Biplukta, the Rabbi Akiva, the Bastis, and Rabbi Akiva, the Braisa, and you reconcile the two opinions in this Braisa, Knosu Lemi, Leovia, so that goes like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva in the Braisa. The Yeshomim, that the Knas goes Liatzma, that goes like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah. Amar Abaye, Abaye continues and he says, Ba'aleu Mesa, if Rachmona Litzlan, a man assaulted a Nara, and Mesa, and then before the Knas was paid, she's entitled to the 50 Shkolim, Nebuch, she passes away. So we had this opinion of Abaye previously in the Gemara. He says, Potter, in that situation, the man who assaulted her doesn't pay the Knas. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Shenema, V'nasan, Ha'ish HaShokhe Bimo, La'avi hanara, the man has to pay the knas la'avi hanara, and not below la'avi mesa, not if the girl died of some other situation. So if the girl in that situation is not around, so then there is no knas. Gzeres hakosuv. So the Gemara says this was obviously Abaye's opinion. So Milsa b'shita leil Abaye, this was Abaye's opinion. He was very clear to him, darshining the pasuk, v'nasan ha'isha shochei b'mo la'avi hanara, that he has to give the money to the avi hanara, and that's only assuming that the nara is alive, but not if the nara is mesa. But this was the question that Rava had raised. Boy, leil Rava. Rava, in fact, had asked this very, very question. The boy Rava, Rava had asked, do we have this concept of yesh beger ba'kever, or ein beger ba'kever? What does this mean? So Rashi explains the Dibra Masko Yesh Beger Bakever, in the first Dibra Masko Yesh Beger Bakever, in Meso bin Arusa, if the girl dies while she's in Nara, Achelo Omdo Bedin, before the din was passed by the Basin, Viegiyaz Man Bagrusa Bakever. And now Basin finally gets around to passing this case when in fact she already would have been a Bogeris if she had been alive. So Nebuch, this girl was assaulted when she was a Nara. She was 12 years old and 4 months. She Nebuch dies when she's 12 years old and 5 months. And Baskin passes the case when she's 12 years old and 7 months. So in this situation, do we say, Michoshiv Beger, that she was in Bagrus at the time of Sak Basin, and therefore she's not entitled to the Knaz? Or do we say, oh no, because she was dead, Nebuch, and she died when she was a Nara, and she doesn't become a Bogeret in the grave, so to say. So that's the question. Yes, beggar bakever, or ain't beggar bakever? So Rava is saying that does she, in fact, lose her Knaz by becoming a Bogeret in the grave or not? And that's implying, at least on one side of the coin, that a Nara, who is Mesa, is entitled to a knas, assuming you don't say that she's Bogeris in the kever. So the Gemara questions this and says, Yesh Beger Bakever. Do we say that she is entitled to the knas, even though she becomes a Bogeris in the grave, so to say, even though the din was passed when she would have been 12 years and 7 months, but the assault occurred when she was in Nara, so she's entitled to that, and obviously she's dead, so she's not entitled to it, with the Bnah Havi, and it goes to her son. Now, the Gemara will discuss in tomorrow's shir how she could have a son at this point in time, because normally a ketana can't have a son. So how could this girl, who is 12 years and 4 months, have a son? So that will be tomorrow's shir. But right now, we're getting the two signs of Rava's coin. So the two questions possibly are, do we say yesh beggar by kever, and as a result she's entitled to the knas? Now she can't get it, she's dead, so it goes to her yoresh, which is her son. Or do we say no, odilmah ain't beggar by kever, that in fact she doesn't become a bogeris in the grave, and therefore she gets entitled to this as a nara, she's not considered a bogeris, udavia heavy, and the knas goes to her father. So the two sides of the coin over here is, do we or do we not say that she becomes a bogeris in the kever? And in this situation, the knas, if she's bogeris in the kever as a bogeris, would go to her yoresh. But if she wasn't a bogeris in the kever, then she would be a nara still, halachically, and the knas would go to her father. Now, this was Rava's question. And this is based upon the din. Rashi tells us in the second Dira Masogiyesh Beggar Bekever that if she was alive, she doesn't die. She's assaulted when she's 12 years and 4 months. And the din is paskin when she's 12 years and 7 months. So then in that situation, the Mishnah in Daf Mem Aleph is going to tell us, in the end of this parak, that Nara Shinit Pasisa, if a woman was seduced, the Hare Hein La'atzma V'lo L'Aviyah. In that situation, she gets the knas and not to her father. So to Aviv, Ashtanami, do we say that there's this bagrus in the kever, this mafkiach koach av, ubino yorislo, and her son would inherit her as if she was a bogeris herself, but she's not around, so therefore her son would get it? Or no, do we say that there is no beggar but kever? So this will be the question, and we return now to Lametesim and Aleph. However, the Gemara is going to first, before it answers this question, is going to say, how could you possibly have a woman who is in Nara, and she actually had a child beforehand? So we'll stop over here. This is a good break point, and with this we'll conclude today's shir.